Have you ever been in the middle of something that you felt like was exactly where the Lord wanted you to be, and all of a sudden things just didn't seem to be going well? How did you take that? I'll tell you one thing. Human nature is that we murmur or we begin to gripe and complain. And Israel was no different. Remember, at the point we are, as we're studying the Bible now, they have essentially left Egypt. They've been through the Red Sea. They're on their way to that promised land. Well, in just a moment, we're actually going to look at bread from heaven, how God provides in the middle of our circumstances and situations. We're going to be looking at the book of Exodus chapter 16. So grab your Bible, come on back, see you in just a minute. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I pray that your day is coming along well. A moment ago, I mentioned we're going to actually be looking at passages that are coming out of the book of Exodus chapter 16. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn over there. I'm going to actually read that whole chapter. It's like 30-some verses, but I think it's important that we don't leave anything out. Now, I mentioned a moment ago, as we're continuing our look, we've come to the point where essentially they have been delivered from Egypt. They've been through the Red Sea. They're on that journey. They're on their way to the land that God had promised them. And like we talked about last week, they actually came up to Mariah where the waters were bitter. Things started to not work out the way they thought that they should be working out. Now, folks, I want to tell you something right now, and be sure you get this if you don't get anything else. Just because you are in the middle of the Lord's will doesn't mean that there are not going to be problems and issues and speed bumps and wrinkles along the way. Those are just part of the process. So we can't get frustrated and begin to blame God or begin to take our circumstances or situations out on somebody. It's exactly where God wants us to be to bring us to the place that He is trying to get us to. So that was a situation that Israel needed to learn. Okay, that was something that they had to get through their head and learn some things along the way. Now the tough part in this situation would have been being Moses, because every time something happened, they turned around and complained to him. But with no further ado, let's go ahead and look at our passages today. It's going to be the book of Exodus chapter 16, and we're going to begin reading with verse 1. It says, "And they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, 'Oh, that we had died in the hands of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate the bread to full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger.' Verse 4, 'Then the Lord said to Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, At evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your complaints against the Lord. But what are we that you complain against us?' Also Moses said, 'This shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord hears your complaint which you make against him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord.'" Verse 9, "Then Moses spoke to Aaron, 'Say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he has heard your complaint. Now it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. And so it was, that quail came up at evening and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "This is bread which the Lord has given you. This is the same thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's needs. One omer for each person, according to the number of persons, let every man take for those who are in his tent." Then the children of Israel did so and gathered some more and some less. So when they measured it by omers, he gathered much. He who had gathered much had nothing left over, and he who had gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. Verse 19, and Moses said, "Let no one leave any till morning." Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses. But some of them left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and it stank, and Moses was angry with them. So they gathered it every morning, every man according to his need, and when the sun became hot, it melted. And so it was on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. Then he said to them, "This is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourself all that remain to be kept until morning." So they laid it up till morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink, nor were there any worms in it. Then Moses said, "Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field." Verse 26, 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. Now it happened that some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather, but they found none. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord hath given you on the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day, and the house of Israel called its name manna, and it was like white coriander seed, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Verse 32, then Moses said, "This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Fill an omer with it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread with which I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt." And Moses said to Aaron, "Take a pot and put an omer of manna in it and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept." And the children of Israel ate manna 40 years until they came to an inhabited land. They ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Cana. Now an omer is one-tenth of an ephah. All right, let's pray together. Father, as we come to you now, we're grateful and thankful again for this opportunity to gather around your word. We pray, Father, that you would truly help us to trust you each and every day, each and every moment along the journey and along the path that you have each and every one of us on. Lord, may we look to you. May our faith be strengthened in the fact that you promise that you won't leave us nor forsake us. Lord, you promise that you are going to take care of us no matter what. So, Lord, I pray that we will learn lessons from your word today. Lord, I pray that you would use me as your messenger for these moments, that you will be high and lifted up as you draw all men unto you. Lord, just be with us. Bless this time as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now I know that was a lot of scripture for today, but we didn't want to leave anything out because today we're looking at bread from heaven. Now, Moses leads the promised people, the people of Israel, towards a land that God has promised them, which we call the Promised Land. We know that that's the land of Cana. Now, these are folks that are the descendants of Abraham. They are headed to a land that God said, I've prepared this for you. I'm going to give it to you and all your people, my people, the people of Israel. And God is not going to let them starve in the desert. You have to think about all the things that God did to get them prepared to leave Egypt and all the way that he has taken care of them along the way. And so many times in our lives, we sit back and we will look and we can see God's provision day in and day out, how he opened doors, how he closed doors, and how he took care of each and every one of us in our journey. When we look back at this situation, you would think that the people of Israel would understand what God had already done and what God was going to continue to do. He said, I'm not going to leave you and I'm not going to forsake you and I'm going to take care of you. He had done that. He had a proven track record of doing that. And yet every time they run up against an obstacle, the first thing that they do is start griping and complaining. We see that in our text today. So, you know, today as we look at the scripture text, we need to look and see about the manna that God has for murmuring people, because, you know, we can become professionals at murmuring, can't we? We've got complaining down pat. Well, in our text today in verses 2 and 3, we see where the people begin to murmur against and to complain against Moses. The people became hungry, and when they became hungry, they started to complain. Yeah, every time I read these particular passages, it kind of reminds me of the Snicker commercials. You know, when it says you're not yourself, and the commercials usually have, you know, some like star or somebody that you know, and then they take a bite of that Snickers bar, and then they turn back into themselves. So people not only get hungry, they get hangry. And that was the case that took place here particularly with Israel. They got hungry. All of a sudden, they're sitting back going, okay, we've run out of food. Remember, last week we talked about the fact that they had run out of water and they started to complain. And here we are just a little while later, and now they don't have any food. So what is the first thing they do? You know, the first thing they do is they run to Moses and they start to complain about the circumstances and the situation that they're in. You know, I guess they had forgotten that they had been slaves before and now they were free. I guess they had forgotten that they had been trapped, but now they're triumphant. They have left. They're no longer the servants of evil taskmasters. You know, I guess they had forgotten how they had been thirsty, but God gave them water. I mean, think about that for a minute. Let me carry you back over to verses 2 and 3, because I think it's very pointed in what it says. In our text in chapter 16, verse 2, it says this. It says, then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Now here's verse 3, get this. It says, and the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. All of a sudden, they started thinking about what it was like back when they were in Egypt. Yeah, I've used a statement around Central Baptist Church before, and I said, we don't need to go back to Egypt. Because what happens is when we start to hit a little bit of a tough road, well, all of a sudden, the first thing we want to do is we want to run back to where it was comfortable. We want to run back to where things are familiar, and that's not what God's plan is. I love the old adage that has been said before that most of you, or some of you may at least remember this. It says that when Cortez reached the New World, he burned his ships, and thus his men were highly motivated. Well, when Cortez got there, the reason he burnt the ships was that so that there was no way for them to go back. There was only one way to go, and that was forward. And folks, that's the way it is with you and I. God doesn't want us to go back. Satan wants to run us back to an area of comfort so that we don't arrive where God wants us to arrive, and so that we won't become what God wants us to become along the way. So the question is, in your life right now, in the middle of the circumstances that are around you, are you trying to run back to Egypt? Are you trying to run back where it's comfortable? Are you complaining against God? You know, just because you're on your way to a destination doesn't mean that you have arrived at the destination. You got to remember that. God's got something bigger and greater and better that is planned for you down the road. So what we find out that Israel was doing, they began grumbling. You know, and think about what the grumbling did to them. Yeah, in verse 3, it tells us that the grumbling made them say things that they didn't mean. Doesn't that happen to you and me? Look at verse 3. It says, "And the children of Israel said, Oh, that we had died at the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we were sitting beside, you know, meat and bread. We had all that we wanted. You know, it would have been better for us just to have died back there. At least we wouldn't have died starving to death." How many times in the middle of anger and grumbling do you say things that you really, really don't mean? And then things that you wind up having to go back and have to apologize to somebody later on for when things straighten out. That's just a classic symptom of being in circumstances and situations and allowing them to get the best of us. So Israel was grumbling, and they were carrying their complaint to Moses. It caused them to say things that they did not mean. It also made them exaggerate the facts. Have you ever noticed that when you're in the middle of something, the facts all of a sudden become so much larger and bigger than they were before? Verse 3 says the same thing. Oh, yeah, we had all the meat we could eat. We had all the bread. No, they didn't. But yet, it made the story sound better. They exaggerated their complaint along the way. And you and I do the same thing when we're in the middle of it. Okay? What else did we see about their grumbling? Their grumbling also, in verse 3, made them doubt their dearest friend. It made them doubt not only Moses, but it made them doubt God, because they were sitting back saying, "We don't like where we are. We're hungry. We're going to starve to death. We've got no place to go. And it's all your fault, Moses. It's all your fault, God." Now, that's a very key and interesting thing as well, because here's what you have to understand. Their murmuring was really against God. Even though they were carrying their complaint to their leader, Moses, they were complaining against God. They were saying, "He's brought us out here. We're going to die out here. You know, we would rather go back where we were before. We would rather go back to Egypt. At least we knew we had a place to lay our head. We had food in our stomachs. Yeah, we had to work hard. And no, we were not free. And no, we could not worship God. But it felt more comfortable back there." Boy, there's that word again, comfort. We like to be in a situation of comfort, don't we? Yeah, and what happens is when we get outside of that comfort, we begin to murmur. You might be murmuring toward a boss. You might be murmuring towards a family member. You might be murmuring towards your pastor. But whatever it is, here's what you ultimately need to realize. You're not murmuring against them. You are murmuring against God. In the same way that Israel was murmuring, they might have thought that they were murmuring against Moses, but they were truly murmuring against God. Let me carry you down to verse 8 for just a second and let you see that. It said, "Also Moses said, There shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and in the morning bread to the full, for the Lord hears your complaint which you are making against him." Did you get that? Against him. And he said, "What are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord." And you know what? Nothing's changed. When you make those complaints, you might be complaining to somebody, but your complaint is really against the Lord, because the Lord is the one who has ordered your steps. The Lord is the one who knows what's taking place. The Lord is the one who has got you on this journey, and he knows exactly where you are. So consider that in the midst of your murmuring, okay? Consider the fact that you're murmuring against God, not the people that you're sitting there pointing that complaint to. But now, as we get down into verse 4, we also see the mercy of God. What is mercy? Mercy is really us not receiving what we really deserve. So in verse 4, God promises them, he says, "I'm going to rain down bread from heaven." You know, not the fire and brimstone that they deserved. He said, "No, I'm going to rain bread down from heaven on you." Yeah, think about how gracious and merciful our Lord is. Think about how gracious and merciful he was to Israel during this time. And he is the same long-suffering, merciful God today as he was back in the day of Moses. You know, we have to be very, very careful. We have to think about what's taking place and what's going on. And God is being merciful to us today, just like he was to Israel back in that day. His grace and His mercy spares us each and every day. It is God who provides. Think about it for a minute. Nothing is yours. Nothing is mine. The home you live in, that's God's. The vehicle you drive, that's God's. The food on your table, that is God's. He is sharing. He is providing those things that you and I might have sustenance and provision. But the bottom line is it's not ours. It's His. He has provided all of these things for us. Boy, another message for another day is how good of a steward are we being when it comes down to the things that God has allowed to be under our control? Are we being good stewards? Okay. Bottom line is that we have sinned against God, but He is truly merciful. We don't get what we deserve. It's really easy when we look at a story like this to look at Moses and to look at the people, and we can dissect it and we can pull it apart and we can sit back and go, well, the people shouldn't have done that. Well, yeah, it's easy for us to say because we know the end of the story. If you knew the end of your story, then you would sit back and say the murmuring and complaining was silly too. But yet you don't. So you're right there in the middle of it just like they were. And we have this tendency to gripe and complain about it. I want to encourage you not to do that. I want to encourage you to listen to the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit says, wait a minute, time out. Before you start griping and complaining and before your focus gets off of where it needs to be, I want you to think about the blessings I've given you. I want you to think about my mercies and my graces to you. I want you to think about my provision. And like the old hymn says, when we begin to count our blessings and name them one by one, it becomes a whole lot harder to gripe and complain about the provision of God in our lives, okay? We have sinned against God, and yet He still shows us grace, and He still shows us mercy. And it's only the Lord's mercy that can keep us from destruction. The Lord's mercies, I like what the Word says in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, that the Lord's mercies are new every morning. You can't sit back and say, well, this has gotten old, this has gotten stale. The Lord had new mercies planned for you on this very day when you got up this morning. And it won't be those same mercies for tomorrow. They're new every day. Yeah, God was merciful to these bunch of people who were murmuring and griping and complaining, and He promised them something. In verse 4 of our text, He promised them, I'm going to provide for you. I am going to give you bread from heaven. That had never happened before. Nobody had ever seen that before. And I'm sure along the way they were sitting there going, so how does this work? You know, bread from heaven, what's it going to just fall out of the sky like rain? That I'm sure that they didn't know that it had to be explained to them according to our text. And then in verses 5 through 36, we begin to see how God provided them the manna from heaven. And it's really interesting. In verses 14 through 16, I want to carry you down there for just a minute. It describes the manna. Notice what it says in verse 14. It says, and when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given to you. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather according to each one's needs, one omer for each person, according to the number of persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent. So all of a sudden, it's being described for them. They're like, what is this stuff? And Moses is saying, that's the manna. That's the bread from heaven that we're calling manna that God has provided for you. And here's the way you're supposed to collect it. There were instructions along the way with that. He said, you will get one omer for each person in your family. It was a size. An omer was a size. It was a measurement. In fact, the last verse of our text tells you that it is one-tenth of an ephah. Let me make sure I'm right on that. Yeah, verse 36, now an omer is one-tenth of an ephah, okay? So there it was, there's that tenth. You were to gather, you know, a tenth. The manna, when we think about manna, manna is metaphorically a type of Christ when we consider it. And when you stop and you think about all the things that this manna did and all the things that Christ did for us, verse 4 said it came down from heaven. Did Christ not come down from heaven, the Son of the Almighty, to live incarnate some 33 sinless years and to take our sins to the cross? Sure He did. It says that the manna, it says it came to the wilderness of sin. Now think about that, okay? Christ came to pay the price. He was the one, he was the free gift from God for our sins. Yeah, and this thing says it came as a small thing. He was considered insignificant to those that were around him. He was not recognized for what he was in the same way the man was not recognized for what it is. But he was sufficient. I love this part too. Christ is sufficient for each and every need of your day and my day. And he told them, he said, when you go out and you gather this, when you gather this manna, you get one omer per person per tent. In other words, one omer per person for a household. And he said, that's going to be enough to last you. And the ironic part was that the scripture even tells us, he said that for those who went out and gathered in abundance, by the end of the day, they had nothing left. It was done. It said that those who gathered just a little bit by the end of the day, they had nothing left either. And both were satisfied because God provided. What is it he says in the Lord's Prayer? Give us this day our daily bread. God is still concerned about what's going on in your life. He is still in control of it if you're one of his children. And he still has a plan for you. Even though things seem topsy-turvy in this crazy old world for today, God is still in control. I can promise you that. And he says, I want you to collect enough sufficient for the day, not for the week, sufficient for the day. It's also ironic what he said is that he said 6 days you'll do this. And he said, the problem is you, it's going to be telltale who doesn't do what they're supposed to do. He says, if you gather too much of it, he said, by the next morning, it's going to stink and it's going to be full of maggots. You imagine walking, I mean, you could walk past the tents out there and tell who was disobedient. You're like, whew, man, I'm telling you one thing. They collected too much manna because God said, I'm going to provide for you today. I'm not going to promise you for tomorrow. When tomorrow comes, you'll go out and you will collect once again for tomorrow. Could God have just made it last forever? Sure, he could have. But yet he said, I want you to be obedient to do what I've told you to do. You will go collect an omer apiece for your tent each and every day. If you collect too much, it's going to stink and it's going to be full of maggots. Not only will you know that it's not going to be edible, but everybody around you is going to know that you were disobedient. But then he said when he gets down the last day or the sixth day, he says, you will gather enough for 2 days. Why would he say that? Because yeah, the day before leading into the Sabbath, he said, you will gather enough so that you will be taken care of on the day that you gather, and then tomorrow, which will be the Sabbath day. And ironically enough, that manna that would stink and be full of maggots, if it was kept overnight, lasted perfectly fine when it was the night before and heading into the Sabbath. Why? Because God made it last that way, folks. That's the type of God that we serve. If you will just trust him, if you will just be obedient to him, and if you will follow his direction, and if you will follow his instruction, he will give you what is sufficient for the day for you and I to be able to make it through. This manna was also gathered by stooping down. Verse 17 tells us they had to stoop down to pick it up. There was some work involved in it. They had to get down there and get busy with it, and God asked them to do that. You know, in other words, he wanted them to do something to be a part of his instruction of being obedient to his will. And God is the same way today. He still wants something from us. We've got this idea that God doesn't have any expectations of us as Christians anymore. And that is a lie straight from the pits of hell. God does have expectations of his children. You know, now, I got to be careful how I say this because I would never want anybody to take this wrong. we're saved by grace through faith and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we're not saved by our works. You can't work your way to heaven. You're saved by God's grace. But yet the Lord also tells us this. He also, a little bit later on in his word in the book of James, he says that faith without works is dead. In other words, if we're born again believers, if God is our Father, and if we're loving him and we're obedient to him and we're following him, then we should desire to serve him. We should desire to be obedient. We should desire to be a part of the plan that he has for us. So my question is, are you desiring God Boy, that sounds like a book. I'm sure I probably read one somewhere along the way, Desiring God. Actually, I think there was a ministry that was called that back in a couple of decades ago. Desiring God. Do you desire Him? Yeah. Think about it for a minute. It talks about this manna. It said it was white, which speaks of the purity. Remember I said metaphorically, it speaks of Jesus. It parallels with Jesus. He was pure. And it was ironic that it said that it was sweet to the taste. It said this manna, this wafer, had a taste of like honey. It was sweet to the taste. Boy, we love sweets. I know some people who, that's your weakness out there. You know, you're sitting back saying, forget this. And one of the old saints of our church who's gone on to be with the Lord right now used to laugh every time. I still laugh when I think about it, but anytime we'd have a dinner or something at the church and, you know, the blessing would be said and everybody would start for the line, but you would see this particular individual get up and he wouldn't go to the food line. The first place he went was the dessert table. He wanted to make sure he got the dessert that he wanted before it was all gone, and then he would come back and eat his dessert first. I would pick at him and I'd say, you know, you're not supposed to eat dessert first. And he said, well, why would I leave any? You know, he said, I might get full of the food and not get to the good stuff. So I'm going to start with the good stuff. God love his heart. But but a lot of us really, really like, desire, and even crave the sweet stuff. So this bread that God gave them, I call it like a honey bread. It was sweet to the taste. And it's ironic. It's now, if you go over and just as a sidebar, if you go over and look at Revelation 2:17, you'll also see that manna is in heaven right now. You're going to know what it's like. We'll get to it a little bit later on. There's a pot of that in the Ark of the Covenant as well. But at any rate, it's still around. So I want you to think about it. I want you to think about the people. I want you to think about Israel at this particular point. You know, we know what was going on. They were on that journey. They got out. They ran into bitter water. This was last week, and God took care of that. He, you know, he had Moses cut down the tree, throw it into the water there at Moriah, and the waters became sweet and drinkable. Then a little while later, they get to where we are in our text today, where they're hungry and they begin to grumble and gripe because they said, "We're going to starve to death out here. We would have been better off to have been back in Egypt." And yet God fed that grumbling crowd bread and meat. Yeah, it also talks about the quail, how the quail, you know, would come through, you know, flying low so that they could basically just take a club and smack them out of the air or whatever they needed to do. But the bottom line was they had meat and they had bread, and God provided for them on a daily basis as they needed. Okay. Now you and I, Christ comes to unhappy people to satisfy their spiritual hunger. If you're out there today and you're unhappy and you're unsatisfied and you are searching for something, let me tell you, I have the answer for you. I promise you, the answer is Jesus Christ. The answer is in knowing Him and loving Him and trusting Him, being obedient to Him and following Him. I will promise you, your life will change when you do that. That doesn't mean it's going to become perfect. That doesn't mean that there's not going to be some speed bumps along the way. That doesn't mean that there's not going to be some times when the water's not going to be bitter and the food seems like it's low. But those are the times that God's going to show up in your life, and He's going to do it in such an incredible way that only He can get the honor and the glory for it. I want to encourage you, and I want to challenge you to trust God through that. Will you receive the bread from heaven by faith and live for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? You see, that's what it's all about. So as always, I ask you, has there been that time in your life when you have confessed and said, Lord, I realize that I am a sinner and I need a Savior, and Jesus is it. He lived that 33 years sinless. He went to Calvary's cross for me. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. He was resurrected on the third day. He has ascended back to the Father, and here someday soon, He's coming back for me. Have you trusted Him? Have you asked the Lord, Lord, I'm a sinner. I love what the scripture tells us that one particular sinner in the Bible did. It said he smote his chest and he cried out, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. You can do that right now where you are. You can say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Save my soul. Although that sounds like a very simple prayer, it is a prayer cry that God will hear and he will save your soul if you mean that with all of your heart. Now, that's not the end of it. That's just the beginning of your salvation. But then you want to work on following him, being one of his children and following his word. And by the way, if you do that, please let me know. Contact us through our website. Contact me. I would love to be able to get some information in your hands to help disciple you to grow in your newfound walk with the Lord. When you get into circumstances and situations just like Israel did, then you can sit back and say, you know what, I don't have all the answers. All I know is that we don't have food and we don't have water, but I know more than anything, I know this. I know that God is going to take care of me. He is going to provide my needs as I need them. And when you can rest in that kind of grace and faith and love and mercy, God will do some incredible things in your life. And I don't mean just give it lip service where you're sitting back going, okay, Lord, I'm trusting you for the day while you're worrying to death. But are you really going to trust God and say, Lord, it's out of my hands. I'm on the way. I'm in the car. I'm on the ride. You're the driver. Take me where you want me. Stop and eat wherever we want to eat. You know, stop for rest stops where you want. And I'm going to just be happy to be along for the ride. Can you do that? Folks, let me make you a promise that when you do, I promise you that the Lord will change your life. He will truly provide for you all of your needs. He will give you the bread from heaven that not only you need, but that you desire. Yeah, he will give you even those desires. Let's stop murmuring and let's stop complaining about where we are. And let's start trusting the fact that God has us on a journey to a place that he wants to use us, a place that is, as he told Israel, the land that flows with milk and honey. We're on a journey, folks, and that doesn't mean that everything's going to be wonderful along the way. We're going to have those issues that we're going to have to deal with each and every day, and I'm going to pray that God will let you see just that before I close in prayer. But I want to tell you what our text we're going to be reading for this coming week. So that you can be prepared as we come together next week. This week, our Bible reading is actually going to be Exodus chapter 17. We're continuing our discussion on the Exodus. And next week, we're going to be looking at when water flowed from a rock out of Exodus chapter 17. Would you read that and be prepared as we come together next week around God's Word on Wednesday for our Wednesday Bible study? I hope and pray that you will. Let me pray with you as we finish up our Bible study for today. And let's ask God to do some incredible things in your life. Okay, let's pray. Father, we come to you now again, grateful and thankful for the opportunities that you give us. Lord, I pray that you will help us to see that you want to provide for us one day at a time and sometimes one moment at a time. And you have said for us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. We don't know what tomorrow may hold. But Lord, along the way, along our journey, when we find ourselves out in the wilderness, when we find ourselves lacking in the things that we need, God, I pray that you will grow our faith in such a fashion that we will come to you in prayer, and Lord, that we will trust you no matter what, that you're going to provide for us. Lord, we see and experience your mercy and your grace on a daily basis. May we never take it for granted. Father, I'm reminded of how the folks accepted this manna around this point in Scripture where we're reading. But I also remember that later on, they made a mention of how they loathed that worthless bread. Lord, I pray that we will not take for granted the blessings that you bestow upon us in our lives. And I pray, Father, that you'll give us a great week. Help us to see the opportunities all around us. And may we trust you more each and every step of the way, each and every hour that goes by. May we draw closer to you. May we trust you. And Lord, may we rest in your mercy and your grace as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, listen, again, I want to thank you for joining us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. If you happen to be in the Oak Ridge, North Carolina area, and you do not have a church home, I would love for you to come visit with us. You have a personal invitation from Pastor Roy to come and be a part of our worship service. Our worship services are at 10:45 on Sunday morning. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge. If you are familiar with the area, we're right across from the Oak Ridge Military Academy, right across Highway 68 from there. And man, we would just love to have you come and worship with us. So other than that, I'm praying that God's going to give you a great week and that you're going to see His hand of provision in so many areas in your life. And today the challenge is, if you're murmuring, if you're griping and you're complaining, could you take that and turn that into praise and adoration to the Lord and trusting that He's going to bring you through whatever your circumstance and situation is? I hope and pray so. Listen, God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you Sunday, hopefully, here at Central Baptist. If not, I'll see you next week for the Wednesday Bible study.